The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, the one and only two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, fresh off of a weekend of honeydews, as I understand, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Monday to you, sir.
Happy Monday to you, RJ, and everyone else out there that's so happened to be listening to this podcast. Yes, it was a good weekend. Very, I would say, productive. All the things that I've been procrastinating to do, the transition, all the yard and honeydews, but actually that's my kind of my dues because I'm kind of the I would say OC about when it comes to my yard.
You so care I got more a chance then.
At, yeah, you know what? Here's the thing about it, because I hope my kids don't listen to this podcast. I want to encourage them to help me in the yard because, you know, I'm fortunate I have this big yard, but I like to do a lot of things myself. Maybe it's just my, you know, my heritage coming out in me and the Mexican in me, if you will. I mean, I like to do yard work, right? Yeah. So it seems like to me, I just like to do it a special way. So I find myself at my age still doing the hardcore heavy lifting work. But I won't tell them, because sometimes when I tell them to do that, they just don't do it the way the dad wants them to do. But yeah, I got a chance to do that, and it does look better. So I feel a lot better about that. Just one of the things I was able to check off my list, RJ.
Well, I saw also you posted some photos. I know you mentioned it on Friday from your Salvation Army event. Looked like a good time.
That was a great event. It was really cool. It was obviously Salvation Army. It was a 5K, and I was the congratulatory cowboy, former cowboy at the end. And I believe there was 1,000 people that participated in the Salvation Army 5K at the Star. So that also was a great thing that I had going on over the weekend. I enjoyed doing that a lot more than I did the yard work, though.
Well, good deal. I had a fantastic Sunday. I hadn't had a Sunday like this in a while. I even, don't tell my wife this, I squeezed in a nap. She had to run an errand, and I was able to get a nap out of the day, which was
shame
fantastic.
On you.
It was beautiful. I regret nothing, but I watched the Valero Texas Open. I watched the Spurs beat the Cavaliers. I dabbled in the Thunder Timberwolves game. I watched the Astros sweep the Athletics on a walk-off, literally, with Jose Altuve. And then I capped the night off with watching the U.S. Women's National Team. I'm really pumped about this summer's World Cup for them. But
so how were you able to shoehorn a nap in there? Did you just kind of fall asleep during – let me ask you this. Did you fall asleep during the Valero Open? Because that's kind of the hypnosis for me when I watch TV. I ultimately end up taking a nap.
I did during the very beginning of it. It was about, you know, I'd say like 1:30 when I slipped the nap in, because I got up early to do some stuff around the house, and then my wife left, she had to do something, and so that was when I grabbed a bag of Cheetos, these like puffy Cheetos I really like, and I went upstairs to our little loft area, and I just sat down. I felt so comfortable, and I thought, why am I going to fight this? I'm home alone. I've got a whole day's worth of sports ahead of me. Let me reload and refuel, and it was fantastic.
Hey, brother, you got to take advantage of those moments, because as you this is coming from an experienced dude. I've been married for a long time and have 3 kids. Once the kids start coming in the picture, you don't get those many relaxing days. And I think sometimes you just need to take care of yourself. So good for you. I'm glad you got rested up.
I appreciate it. It was a great day. that I even tweeted. It was, you know, it was an awesome day in terms of the results. Everything basically went the way I was rooting for. And Tony, it kicked off today, Monday. It's Masters Week. We made it. We finally made it. It feels so good. Really, it feels incredible.
Well, here's what I did this morning. If I went to the gym, I did a post on Instagram, and I was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I was just kind of broadcasting it out to kind of funny in a funny way. And I know this is not going to be the thing I'm going to be doing over the weekend, because I said this weekend's Masters Week. So I told my wife, I said, you know what, this is my time. And I was like, LOL, because that may not happen. But she kind of respects that. But you're right. This you know, they started off with the women's, the amateur, last week now, and then into, you know, transition into this week. And I'm like you, the azaleas are blooming there. I mean, there is nothing like the Masters.
This is Jim Nance's week, man. Tonight, gosh. Who you got, Tech or Virginia?
Man, I want Tech to win.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a tremendous game. It's going to be a defensive game. I mean, there's questionable. Well, should Auburn have gotten called for that foul? But Virginia won. They earned it. But the storyline is Texas Tech. I mean, they went to the Elite Eight last year, and then Texas Tech has a chance to win tonight. I got to cheer for the home state team, the Red Raiders.
I'm fine. Guns with up. That. I'm fine with this. You mentioned the end of that Auburn Virginia game. You know, the whole controversy aside, those three free throws from Kyle Guy, those were insanely clutch. Those are three hard free throws to hit, and he did. I think the kid deserves props for that.
Yeah, I think it's a good foul. I mean, I think that, you know, it's kind of like in a football game where, you know, they kick a ball down the field and everyone get away from the ball and not touch the ball and you know, risk the chance of, you know, a turnover. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in the game, a little bit more at stake going into the championship game. I mean, I think that's a good foul, even if it wasn't a foul. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, to be able to have ice in your veins and knock down those three shots, I mean, that took a lot of courage and a lot of just, you know, to have all your, you know, everything and put yourself in a moment where nothing affected you and just ultimately win the game. That was huge.
Seriously, he could be the guy, no pun intended, that gets Jim Nance's tie, because, you know, he gives the tie away every year to a kid. That's an interesting tradition. So
let me ask you this. We haven't talked. Do you like the Capital One commercials with the Chuck Tito?
Yeah, I like them. I mean, I think
did too.
I like them.
You mentioned Jim Nance, and I think they just do a great job of that whole you know, Final Four, that tournament commercial. I think they're pretty cool.
I like seasonal commercials, because I like, you know, obviously Final Four specific commercials, because they go with the time of year. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I like, what are the Masters, like Mercedes? You get the Mercedes and AT&T commercials the whole time. They remind me of the Masters. And so I just like, you know, it's like, I like the Heisman commercials during college football season, like the Heisman house, you know, and everything. Those are the best, because they remind you of that time of year.
Well, I just like the three guys. I like Spike Lee, and then you have Samuel L. Jackson, and you got, obviously, Charles Barkley, and then you throw Jim Nance in there. I just think they do a tremendous job of that whole ad campaign. I think they're funny.
I agree. So there was some huge Cowboys news last Friday, kind of right after we finished the 7-5-0. That's kind of
someone got paid.
Before we get into that, the last sort of item of bookkeeping, Tony, is there is some pettiness across the NFL. This also happened Sunday. I kind of woke up from my nap to this.
Wait a second. Is this breaking news? Some pettiness around the National Football League?
I've
never heard that before.
You know, you certainly can attest that there's been pettiness for a long time in the NFL. I am a fan of the NFL getting petty like this. I think it makes the whole league more entertaining. I think we see it a lot in the NBA, you know, and it gets annoying in the NBA, certainly players like Kevin Durant or whatever. But I think that makes for the reality show aspect of the game. You know what I mean? And so I'm a fan of this, although, I mean, I'm not a fan of Antonio Brown right now. The gist of it, Tony, by now, anyone who's listening has seen the tweets. Antonio Brown coming out and blasting Juju Smith-Schuster for fumbling against the New Orleans Saints. Saying he costed them their season and whatnot. Obviously, a really rough moment for Juju that we all knew in the moment. That was the day, by the way, that the Cowboys locked up the division. It was right after they beat the Bucks. I mean, Antonio conveniently leaving out that he did not show up for the biggest game of the season for his team. It ended up being moot, obviously. And good for Juju, who clapped back at him and said, hey, man, all I did was look up to this guy, and, you know, he's got a big ego. I always find it fascinating, Tony, when somebody, anybody in any walk of life says something that literally 100% of people disagree with. Like, that, this is something where 100% of people right. disagree with, Antonio. Your thoughts?
I think it's a coward thing to do. I think it's a douche thing to do. I think that if you have you feel that way, I mean, once you just text message your the guy you play with, and again, I think that he handled it well. His response, clapping back at him, and I mean, Antonio Brown was a guy that a lot of people look up to just because of his the way he plays the game. He's a baller, but now I think the most important thing, which people probably gave him respect for, his character. And now he just, to me, he you know, we all have seen his character play out in social media. I think, again, the way he's handled it publicly. And to me, that is very, I mean, that's heartfelt there.
Sure.
Because it's a dagger in the man's soul and heart. And just because you're defending yourself because someone else is giving you hell on social media, then you got to go at personally someone that's not even involved, that's not even the crosshairs. I think it's a coward thing to do.
I agree with you. I don't feel this way, but there is a certain, you know, collection of people that applauded the way Antonio got out of Pittsburgh. Because, I mean, I think there is an argument to be made that he maximized and leveraged his own power. You know, he didn't want to play for the Steelers, so he, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of guys lose, a lot of players lose that battle with a team, and he won. And so there are people who applauded him for that. I think that a lot of people across the NFL probably respected him after the whole trade as dramatic as that was. People said, hey man, look, this guy at the end of the day, he didn't want to play there. He found a way to get out. Good for him. And I think all that goodwill that he may or may not have built up, while you can get on Antonio's side for leveraging his way out of an organization that he didn't want to play for, there's no excuse for dragging your former teammate like that in Juju Smith-Schuster. That's something that nobody in the NFL is going to agree with. A lot of players tweeted, Eric Weddle tweeted that it was childish for Antonio. Justin Reed, the Houston Texans safety, said he couldn't wait to put his body on Antonio. He said, I respect him, but this is just ridiculous what he's saying. I mean, I think, you know, if people didn't lose respect for him for the way he left Pittsburgh in general, they definitely lost respect for him after this.
And that's the thing about it is it's not just the people, the fans on social media. These are the fraternity of players in the National Football League. And I think it's really hard to defend someone that has those time of, you know, has those type of actions. And the way that they just respond that way with mm-hmm. venom. And I think personally, I think there's an unwritten rule in any walk of life, but certainly sports, that you know what? You defend each other. Yeah, we'll play it up on social media, but don't go there. That's too personal. And I think for me, and that's going to be hard to – those ones are going to be hard to heal just because of what he said, because that is very personal to say that and not look at your own actions. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, how do you mend those type of actions, especially when it's that – you know, that venom is like, you know, you're shooting that venom, it's piercing, and it's hard to recover from something like that.
I would not be pleased to be an Oakland Raiders player. I'd be scared to fumble because Antonio's going to hate me.
How do you trust someone like that?
Yeah.
You're thinking, you know, you were there for 9 years, and the only thing that, yeah, I think everyone gets disgruntled, and we all like to control our fate and control what we do in the National Football League, but what you're showing me now, I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to tell you anything personal mm-hmm. because, I mean, you've showed it. It's been this reality, as you mentioned, it's been this reality show played out on social media.
You've been in a lot of locker rooms. When something like that happens, like a play like Juju, and obviously it was really unfortunate that he fumbled, that feels like something that stays there. Like, if somebody does have a problem, if somebody feels like, dude, you costed us the game, like, whatever. I mean, that feels like something that when the doors are closed, you guys deal with it, you make your peace, everyone says what they want to say, and then you open the doors, and that's it. I mean, right? That's the code, right?
Well, he's a new guy coming in a situation, and again, I think you really want to start off with and be somewhat humbled. And like, okay, I'm just so happy to be here. What can I do to, I want to do my part. It's kind of like Odell Beckham Jr. going to Cleveland. I don't know what his personality is going to be like, but, you know, still you're humbled. It's a new beginning for you. But I think the message you send by making these type of scathing remarks to a former teammate, mm-hmm. that really, really respected you, that looked up to you.
Right.
And then you're going to a new environment where all of a sudden guys in that locker room, they've already seen, they don't know what to expect. Maybe everyone's going to have a chip on their shoulder because, look, you know, what if I say something to offend him, what's he going to do to me? Because to me, Lee seems ultra sensitive about his surroundings.
This isn't the first time that Antonio has kind of taken shots at Juju. He intimated that Juju was saying the things he was saying publicly just to get paid. It kind of feels like the Steelers are Antonio's ex, and he sees them with this new, hot, young, you know, person in Juju. You know, they rebounded. You know what I mean? They got this new, hot, young thing in Juju, and he's like, oh, no, you know, they suck. He's just jealous. You know what I mean? It's like the guy wants to only have success, and for the Steelers to just sit there and whine that they miss him. He's just he's living in his own world.
Well, it's like someone divorcing, a man or a woman divorcing each other, and you're moving on because, you know, maybe infidelity or whatever, but it was your choice.
Yeah.
You wanted out of the relationship.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, you should be happy, and then all of a sudden, you just keep creating turmoil and keep throwing things under the fire that are necessary when it was your undoing. You're the one that wanted to lead the relationship. So just get over it and move on.
Last non-Cowboys thing, Tony, I know I said that was the last thing, but last Friday, also when the DeMarcus Lawrence news dropped that we're about to get into, there was a huge expose of sorts that Bleacher Report put out on Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy that basically detailed the horrible relationship that everybody had. You know, did you find it hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers is arrogant and, you know, is a jerk to people? And I mean, you know, it was interesting to see the details, but that is like, you know, what? He's a jerk? No way. You know, I would have never believed that. That just sounds really toxic.
I think we judge people on their performance and how they play, and I think some guys compartmentalize their inability to coexist or to exist with someone in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think everyone has those, you know, those times in a relationship where things are kind of rocking up and down. It doesn't surprise me. It happens everywhere you go. And again, if you're working on that interpersonal relationship with the offensive coordinator and the play calling and everything, I think that's the thing about it with the head coach. That's kind of the slippery slope with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. You're the play caller, and then you have Aaron Rodgers who said, look, let me have the ball. I know what plays to call up. So maybe, you know, I understand that. But I don't think everything – I mean, every relationship has its issues, its ups and downs. So it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I think that they make a big deal out of it, but it happens across the land, the football land.
I think it's really interesting the way quarterbacks are scrutinized. And, you know, maybe this was fairly or unfairly for Aaron Rodgers, but you're expected as a quarterback to be, you know, the answer to everything. You got to be perfect. I mean, you got to be the perfect guy. You got to be best friends with everybody, you know. And I know that, you know, all of y'all's relationship with Troy, I would assume, is a big reason why you guys had such harmony, because it all came from your leader. And so it's interesting to see just how different guys lead.
I think the harmony it was totally different. When you look at the team when I play with, it was a collective piece. I mean, it was not just Troy. It was the ability to run the football.
Right.
So it was this harmony where it was more of a collective effort. I think in Green Bay, I think Aaron Rodgers was the harmony. He mm-hmm. was the only playmaker. And not to say what else, you know, everything else. But how many times did that guy have to bring that team back and put on the show? And I'm not offended. I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is painting this picture. He's a perfect dude.
Right.
But I think it's a little different because they put so much emphasis on him, you know, the comeback guy.
Right.
To carry the team.
He's a god. They treat him like a god.
Exactly. And that's why he's the best, because his expectation is to put this team on his back and, you know, plow through the unplowable. And I think that, to me, gets a little skewed because the expectation.
I think it's fascinating to look at where this has happened. I mean, you know, you've been to Green Bay. I've been there once. I mean, it's small town, you know, obviously no owner for that franchise. I think it's easier for this to happen in Green Bay than it is Pittsburgh, for example, where you have these, you know, pinnacles of leadership and whatever and all this structure, because you get to a point where Aaron Rodgers can become, through mystique and whatever, this god that, you know, kind of becomes bigger than everything. You know, he to a degree, he's bigger than the Packers in some ways, which is why he, you know, maintained the power that he did. Sounds like a tough job for a 30-something NFL coach to have to deal with, though.
But isn't that what we anoint quarterbacks to do in a National Football League, to be larger than the football life?
That's true.
That if they lose, it's a quarterback's fault. If they win, hey, you know, that's what he's expected to do. You know, paying him the money and everything. Now, I do agree there may be, you may get more scrutiny when you're in Green Bay, but maybe not, because to me it's not a market like New York or,
right,
you know, maybe even Dallas or, you know, where you just get blasted, you know, for your play. But I think if his quarterback, I mean, you know, his play started to, you know, start to dip, then I think he'd get, you know, would get scrutinized. And but I think it's a market where maybe probably favors a quarterback more than the head coach.
It's interesting, and it was not sad for Cowboys fans to read about the dissension between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So I'll just leave that at that. Okay, Tony, the topic of really the offseason has been DeMarcus Lawrence, his pending contract. It is pending no more. DeMarcus Lawrence and the Dallas Cowboys agreeing to a 5-year contract extension worth $105 million. That is a lot of money for a 27-year-old. DeMarcus Lawrence set a record for how much money he'll be paid up front in the first year, which is good for him. I think this is one of those deals, these are rare, that made sense for everybody. I mean, made sense for DeMarcus Lawrence. He got his early. That early payment helped the Cowboys free up some cap space now. And in the long term, they got their star pass rusher. They got their leader. They got their guy. This sounds like a home run all the way around, like my Sunday.
First and foremost, I'm so happy for this kid. I remember 4 years ago, I was in Mexico at a football camp, and he was, you know, coming off, you know, some off the field, probably more some immaturity issues. And so I remember him telling, you know, having a conversation and saying, look, I'm going to turn this around. And, you know, I really became friends with DeMarcus Lawrence because he seemed like he had that look in his eye. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, 4 years later, what the fourth or fifth highest paid defensive player to National Football League, and very much well-deserved. And I thought this would be very imminent when they signed Robert Quinn, because the notion of putting those two cats together on the edges, I thought this would get done before the draft. And without a doubt, deserves what he got paid. I mean, a tremendous contract for him. I think it's friendly on both sides because it helps in the future salary cap, giving him more money up front. But Without DeMarcus Lawrence, we wouldn't be able to see this whole thing evolve. And I think really when they signed Robert Quinn, it's like, we got to get this dude signed. We got to get the surgery done. We're going to put these two guys together, because I think it really, really has a chance to be one of the best defensive bookend ends that they've had in some time.
I agree with that. You did call this, that it would happen before the draft. It made sense. It's one of those things. They've done a great job of not just with this move, but taking care of their positions of need, whether it's a duct tape or a Band-Aid solution. They at least, you know, if they don't draft a slot receiver, for example, they have Randall Cobb. So they have answers. They don't have any must-haves, which is a good sort of place to be entering the draft with. And so this is fantastic. This actually does make the Robert Quinn trade better, because now you get them both, which is really, really, really good. You know, you mentioned DeMarcus Lawrence had the suspension in 2016, you know, had the rough start to his career when he missed a bunch of games his rookie season. He did have, obviously, the exclamation point on the year with the Matthew Stafford sack and fumble in the playoffs. He's become part of the identity of the Cowboys. It's been a long time since a defensive player has been the level of superstar that he is. And I think, you know, he's really important for them in a lot of ways. He's a guy who gets his job, and that's a really rare thing. He gets that he's a star player for the Dallas Cowboys, and he has to do media interviews and whatever, and he helps the young guys in that regard, and you need that. I mean, I think that that's really, really, really valuable. Something really interesting that came out on Monday, Tony, Albert Breer wrote about this in Sports Illustrated. It was kind of a breakdown of everything that went on. And he said that he spoke with David Cantor, DeMarcus's agent, and that when all the negotiations were going on, they were on a big conference call, and David Cantor texted DeMarcus Lawrence and told him to say, "So trade me then." You know, agent tactic. Hey, you know, if you don't want to pay me, then trade me. And DeMarcus would not say that to the Cowboys. He wanted to be a Cowboy. He didn't want to use, you know, he certainly used his shoulder surgery as leverage, but didn't want to use the threat of a trade. That says a lot. And I think that should get Cowboys fans all the more pumped that this guy wanted to be here and didn't even want to pretend to be anywhere else.
Without a doubt. I think that his whole intentions was that he wanted to be a Cowboy for life and get paid and get what he deserved. And I think he felt like the last couple of years he proved himself. And I think ultimately, I think he felt like he was going to get the number that he wanted, and obviously did. And sometimes you don't have to go use that type of verbiage. But I think ultimately, and I said this before, both the organization and DeMarcus Lawrence, they need each other. Because I think he's probably the last polarizing player that they've had on defense when it comes to a pass rusher is DeMarcus Ware. Okay. Right. So I think, you know, and they took care of DeMarcus Ware. I mean, he was a tremendous player, defensive player of the year, I believe, 1 year of his career. So I think that they have to, you know, match apples to apples. And really, as you put it, to me, he is the personality of this defense.
Right.
You know, the celebration when he gets a sack and just the bravado. And I think that that's really been electric and really been a very big effect on this defense. And I think that they really felt like he is the piece that we have to have on this defense.
Well, he is the leader of the Hot Boys in many ways. And he's certainly great to have around. There's no reason to be upset about this. I mean, you get your internet trolls every once in a while that you know get upset about anything, but it is fantastic news to have DeMarcus Lawrence locked down long term. The state of the pass rushers looks pretty good. You got some solid defensive ends now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think you really do. I think it really you create a lot of turmoil on the outside, and it's consistent pressure. You know, it's going to be interesting because Robert Quinn can get the same respect that DeMarcus Lawrence is going to get just because his ability to get off the edge. And that opens up a lot of opportunities for across the board on the defensive front. And I tweeted this out today. I was working out, and I don't know if I was drinking the Kool-Aid early. It was in my coffee or whatever. But when I look at this team and what they've done in the offseason, and I know people are going to like, Tony, what are you even drinking? And maybe I'm drinking a little of the Cowboy Kool-Aid now.
Kool-Aid Kahlua. I like it.
Yeah. Bailey's or whatever it is. It was in my coffee. When you look at the roster, RJ, or the starting, when you look at their offense and defensive lineup, arguably could be on paper the best collection of players since 1995 when the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. My point is that there's no excuse for this team not to be a serious contender, not just getting in the playoffs. I'm talking about winning it all because of just the players they have when you look on the paper who they have. I mean, they are very strong. And then you throw the old dude in, Jason Witten. I mean, he's going to add another weapon on offense. So without a doubt, and then you get Robert Quinn and you get DeMarcus Lawrence's deal done and some of the things that you've done, you know, Randall Cobb. Collectively, they are ready for the long haul. There's no reason why this team should not be a contender for the Super Bowl this year. And maybe it's because of my Bailey's and coffee, but I started thinking about it. And it's a good comparison to those teams in back in the day when they actually won rings.
Dude, it's Masters Week. If you're slipping Bailey's in your coffee Monday morning, you're doing it right.
It's going to be a great week.
I think it's certainly a talented roster. For me, and a lot of this is hindsight, I look at that 2017 when they had 13 Pro Bowlers, when they had T.O. and Marion Barber, and they did have DeMarcus Ware. They still had Greg Ellis, Terrence Newman. I mean, that was an interesting roster. But you're right. This one on paper, there's every reason to believe they should be a contender. You're right. There are no excuses. And I think that's the important thing here. They don't have a first-round draft pick, as we've said many times. But looking at this roster, I think that they – arguably have the best roster in the NFC East. A lot of national people wouldn't say that because, you know, people are drinking the Eagles Kool-Aid, certainly. But I don't think that this is a roster that wins a Super Bowl. I would love to be wrong, but right now, I think they're limited by the coach. I would trust Sean McVay with a lesser roster.
Really, well, I understand that. I'm talking about we haven't even thrown those elements in, the intangible right. things, and obviously it's a coach, but I'm talking – players.
No, you're right.
And again, and again, this will be a great argument for another show we do on down the road. But I was just thinking about it. Some of the choices that they made, and I think really it hasn't really cost them a lot of money.
No,
besides signing DeMarcus Lawrence, which they had to do it,
and they saved money for that.
Yeah, exactly. And to the days to come.
I agree with you in terms of if a roster was the slab of meat, you know what I mean, that you bought at the meat market, because that's what you need, the ingredients. It's a fine cut of meat. I mean, there's no denying that. Something, Tony, that I did not put, we didn't discuss in our rundown, but I'm going to surprise you with it. That's how we roll here on the 750. The one blemish, if you want to call it that, the one just kind of, oh man, that came from the DeMarcus Lawrence news happened, of all places, on Twitter, which I know you love. I've never been on Twitter personally. But this exchange of tweets involves the Blog and the Boys Twitter account, our side account. We get a lot of questions all the time. Who runs that?
Right.
It's a collection of people. This happened to be me personally. So Taco Charlton, who we've both been critical of, he tweeted randomly because DeMarcus Lawrence signs and Twitter's on fire. Everybody's going nuts and everybody's hot boys, hot boys, hot boys. And Taco Charlton, tweets out, and one more thing, chill out with the hot boys talk. Y'all know nothing about what it represents and what it takes to become one. He later deleted this tweet, which shows you how much conviction he had in it. But so immediately Taco got blasted for this. This was kind of rude of Taco to come out and say, hey, chill out. Y'all know nothing about what it represents. Because, dude, people just want to celebrate with you. You know, why?
It's really getting to Taco Charlton. I think you're really starting to creep in. I don't know if it's his inability to not perform once when the Cowboys drafted him, and the self-doubt. And I think really the insecurity starting to seep in. With Taco Charlton, because maybe he feels like maybe I'm not going to be the player that I'm supposed to be, that the reason why a team drafts you with their number one pick. And I think for him, again, comes down to Twitter, the sensitivity and everything else.
Sure.
Stay off of it. It's in the old days. Whenever we didn't want to see negativity, if we didn't want to respond, we want to have a good day. Don't read the paper.
Yeah.
Don't read it. I mean, Twitter is too easy. It's on your damn phone. I mean, cancel your Twitter account, because that's what you're going to see if you go search for it. And does he deserve to be criticized? Yeah, and especially when you make comments like that.
Well,
I mean, he's very transparent with his remarks.
I don't understand where that, it would be one thing if he was getting into it with a fan, like somebody said, hey, Taco, you suck, and then he defends himself. That would be one thing. But to just randomly come out and say, hey, don't be saying hot boys, you don't know what it's about. Like, dude, what? People just want to have fun with you. So I quoted
this. And they're always tweeting pictures out about the hot boys before the game, and they're marketing, making T-shirts, the brand. Come on, don't give me that.
Well, so
they're trying to monetize this whole branding of the hot boys.
So I quoted the tweet from the BTB account, and I said,
good for you.
Well, I said, hey man, like, we're just Cowboys fans just cheering you on.
Yeah.
I said, this is totally normal. And then I said, why a member of the team would try and hate on that is quite difficult to comprehend. So Taco came back. He quoted our tweet from his own account. He said, you're missing my point. We love the fan support. Just don't try and put people in a group that you don't know nothing about. Again, Taco, and so I finally responded to Taco. And I said, Taco, we want you to be awesome, and that's why we're telling you that getting upset on Twitter about your own rules for the Hot Boys probably isn't the best idea. Because this dude is arguing about rules for his made-up name for the pass rushers on Twitter. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Again, I it eats him up, and I think that the sensitivity, and it's like anything. If you're not really prospering and doing very well, you're a little bit more sensitive to criticism. And just the whole notion that you don't know, that's like you used to say, or say to a journalist that starts talking about X's and O's, and you're like, don't write about that. You don't know. Right. You never used to be a coach or a player. But I mean, it's so transparent.
The word I would use is it's pretentious. It's extremely pretentious of Taco.
Doesn't surprise me some of the things that that I've heard, and just his actions.
You're right. I mean, you've talked about that. You've heard there's an attitude problem there. It was pretentious, and you're right, it was hypocritical. Hey, don't talk about the Hot Boys, but buy our shirts.
Exactly. All right, well, we won't do that. I mean, I'm sure all the everyone else, and look, maybe it's something they need to, you know, that group, that room, the defensive line room with DeMarcus Lawrence, say, hey, bud, come over here. You know, if you want to be the player that you need to be, this is what you need to do. Work your ass off and stay off Twitter, but we're in it together, brother, and we're monetizing it, and not in the brand and everything else. So just take it easy. Don't be so sensitive.
I was just stunned that, you know, I mean, that's even, you know, comparing it to the Antonio Brown thing, at least Antonio had a purpose. You know, Antonio's purpose was to trash Juju, as silly as that was. Taco is, his purpose is to not have fans talk about the nickname that he gave to the pass rushers. It's absurd. It's childish, and I'm embarrassed for Taco.
Yeah, I think he needs to focus on being a football player and doing. I'd like to see more videos of him working out, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was posting those earlier about, yeah, hey, I'm getting myself right. Well, I'd rather like to see some of those, but then, you know, I'd like to see that carry over into 2019 if he's still on the roster.
Sure, he is. It's not a fan favorite. That's really – and he's only isolating himself even more, which
– move him inside.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. Okay. last thing on the docket for today, Tony. So DeMarcus Lawrence got paid. I wrote about this at BTB over the weekend. So the big guys to get paid next, and I know people are going to say Jalen Smith. He's certainly on the list, but right now there's a core four. Not that they're the core players, but you get my point. You've got Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Byron Jones. Who should get paid next? There's arguments to be made for you know, a few, and I'll lay out the arguments for you. The argument for Byron Jones is probably the weakest. The guy's only had one great season, at the position, although that's kind of the Cowboys' fault. But so I think everyone kind of agrees Byron's the lowest priority. The argument for Zeke is that he's your identity. I mean, he's your team. He's everything. He's everything you do. He's, you know, your entire offense many times. That's the argument for Zeke. The argument for Amari Cooper is that if you get a long-term extension done now, it lowers his cap hit this season as he's currently on the fifth-year option. So doing him first makes the most financial sense as it gives you the most room to play with. The argument for Dak Prescott is that he's the quarterback, and so that means he's the most important. And he's been playing for pennies compared to everybody else, so in some ways it's kind of the right thing to do. So who would you pay first?
I think the right thing to do is sign Dak. As you mentioned, you know, wasn't a high draft pick. Haven't been paying a ton of money, and I mean, for a quarterback, as you mentioned, just nickels, okay, not pennies, but nickels. I'll give him that. So I think you have to take care of the quarterback and make him feel good, like this is your team, and you know, kind of give him that vote of confidence. And whatever the market is, as we know, the quarterback in a National Football League, your franchise guy, pay him. Mm-hmm. I think that's your number one priority.
Agreed.
I think Zeke's two. Almost one, but without, I think you got to have the quarterback and his durability. But Todd Gurley, we saw what happened to him when he signed his huge contract, and last year, well, mysteriously, I don't know what, they didn't utilize him, was hurt some of the time. But I think really with Zeke, depends on what you do when you use him in the future as far as how much he has left. I think you got to take care of Zeke. And then I think Amari Cooper, you got to reward him for what he's done for this team, because I think he is a very comparable and he can do a lot of things. I think this year will be interesting. And then lastly, Byron Jones. You know, he's had one really good year. I mean, they moved him from safety to the corner position. Get another year under his belt, and he's also going to get paid. But I think in that order, I think that's the right thing to do.
Now, there's a Madden way to look at this. And by Madden, I mean non-emotional, just, you know, oh, this is my roster, whatever. And in the Madden world, I can understand paying Amari first because it does give you the most alleviation in terms of cap space this season. Although I think it would look really bad if you gave Amari an extension before anybody else who's played, what, 9 games with the Cowboys before you give Dak, who's played almost 50.
Yeah, but those 9 games, boy, I tell you what.
Well, and that's why
they were impactful.
I agree with you that Dak is number one, especially because the market continues to rise, especially if you wait, you know, until after Russell Wilson's deal. Mm-hmm. The market is going to be absurd at quarterback. So yeah. I think you get that done ASAP. I would pay Amari before I would pay Zeke, and the reasons are that A, he's an incredible wide receiver, B, the cap space that it would alleviate, C, receivers are inherently more valuable to any football team, let alone the Dallas Cowboys, than running backs, and D, he actually makes Dak better. And so, in a way, I'm just, you know, giving more money to Dak in through one lens, in that Amari is very good, but he makes Dak better. And Dak is my centerpiece. He's the quarterback. There's a school of thought that Zeke shouldn't be extended, that he should just play out his rookie deal and whatever, because you can find running backs, you know, on the cheap. I mean, look at all the Alvin Kamaras of the world that get drafted and whatever. I mean, I'm not fully in that camp, but I'm definitely hesitant to give Zeke this long-term contract extension. He definitely shouldn't be first.
I don't think he should be first, but I think he should be second. And I think you got to reward him for, I mean, the dude, and we've seen the reps he got last year. I mean, they utilized him. And again, I don't know the durability and he, you know, how long he's going to last. And, you know, it's a short shelf life for running backs. I mean, we've seen that, but I don't think we only get to look at that. You got to look at what he represents to this team, the value,
right,
and decide on what that is. And I think, yeah, you looked at the metrics of the salary cap and everything. That's obviously got a measure in it. But I think Amari Cooper, all those three guys, I think they're the closest to the triplets, if you will.
Right.
The modern-day triplets. And I think you got to take care of those core players. But, yeah, I think you got to – Zeke has got to be a top priority when you go to to extend contracts.
I think that's fair. I mean, I'm not fully there, but, I mean, I certainly can't dispute that. You're right that, you know, every year people try to, you know, match the triplets or whatever. You know, obviously people tried really hard with Romo and Dez and DeMarco. That never felt like it to me because they were so much older. You know what I mean? That they were older when that kind of became what it was. But you've got Dak and Zeke and Amari who are these, you know, 25-year-olds max. I mean, 24, 23, 22-year-olds. That is the ripe age. You know what I mean?
And you got two young guys and Dak and Zeke that were drafted by the Cowboys, so they've been here since day one, and you add Amari Cooper. But, yeah, I think that those three dudes, I really don't think you can compare them to what you just, you know, Dez and DeMarco Murray and Tony Romo. I mean, yeah, you want to – that's always going to – you're going to throw that around. But I think these guys are the closest thing to that, and I think it remains to be seen what their future and what their resume ends up being in the future.
Well – it's good fodder, good fodder. Who wins tonight, Tony? Last thing. Virginia Tech and give me a score.
Guns prediction. Up, baby.
What's the score? It's going to be like 23 to 28. With
I'm going to go 65-62 Red Raiders.
How many times will CBS show Pat Mahomes?
The over and under? What's your over?
I'll set the over under at 5.5.
I'll go over.
Okay, that makes
sense.
If they win.
The bow and arrow.
Yeah, and if they win, you know he'll be like on the court. He'll have one of the – I'll go this far. If Tech wins, they let Pat Mahomes cut down a piece of the net.
No.
I think so.
I'll take that.
I definitely think so.
Chris Beard's not – I don't think he'll allow that. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will allow himself to do that. He'll be excited, but no, I will definitely take that bet, prop bet.
We'll
see. The prop bet?
Yeah, sure. A bag of Cheetos and some Baileys. Perfect combo.
Yeah, sounds great.
So
it's like I was drinking this morning when I sent that tweet out about the Cowboys.
Exactly, exactly. Masters week, NCAA title game, more Cowboys perfect talk. Good times. We'll be back later this week, everybody. Enjoy it. This was the 750.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.